May God's word only be spoken and God's word only be heard. Amen. Good morning, St. Andrews.
Good morning.
It's my very great delight to be here with you this morning. I've had the opportunity, I think, in the last few years to be here for an ordination. Where is she? There you are, Kat. And a year ago to the day, I believe, actually, you hosted a regional confirmation. But this is the first time I've had an opportunity to be here just on a Sunday morning with you in a not exactly ordinary Sunday morning, since we have a couple dozen confirmations, but to be here as part of your Sunday morning worship. And it's my very great delight for that to be. St. Andrews holds a special place in the life of our diocese. You know that we are 180 congregations in the eastern half of the Commonwealth, big ones and small ones, coastal, inland, congregations where the liturgy is offered in English or in Spanish or in Kiswahili or in Dinka or in Cantonese. It's a really widely varied family of which you are a part, and I am grateful that you are. Your clergy leaders are particularly valued among the corpus of clergy leaders in the diocese. I'm grateful for that, but also your lay leadership is well known to me, both here in this place and at the diocesan level, and I'm so grateful for that. So it's delightful to be here. I think following the service, because of the confirmation reception, we won't have any kind of formal forum, but please do take an opportunity to come and find me and have a word, and I will look forward to that. I want to talk about fantasy. I wonder what you think. Is fantasy a good thing or a bad thing? Bad, says science fiction writer Sir Arthur Clarke, who writes, "Surely it is better to know the truth than to dabble in delusions and the wildest fantasy." But, no, it's good, says Dr. Seuss, who writes, I've had a cold this week. Fantasy is good, says Dr. Seuss, who writes, "I like nonsense. It wakes up the brain cells. Fantasy is a necessary ingredient in living." But no, it's bad, says poet Charles Mackay, who writes, "Every age has its peculiar folly, some scheme, project, or fantasy into which it plunges." But no, fantasy is good, says Lloyd Alexander, author of Chronicles of Prydain. He says, "Fantasy is hardly an escape from reality. It is a way of understanding it." So perhaps it depends on what sort of fantasy we're talking about. There is fantasy, the psychiatric description, when a person creates especially unrealistic mental images and then is unable to distinguish those from reality. But then there is the literary form of fantasy, speculative fiction, often featuring strange settings and improbable creatures. And this sort of fantasy is an exercise in creative imagination, providing us a way to explore themes of good and evil. Fantasy as creative imagination has the endorsement of no less a thinker than Albert Einstein, who said, "Imagination is everything. It is the preview of coming attractions." Now, in recent years, probably the most popular purveyor of fantasy has been J.R.R. Tolkien, author of, The Hobbit, The Lord of the Rings trilogy. So Bilbo Baggins and Frodo and the wizard Gandalf and the dwarf and elfin companions and the evil forces of Sauron and locations such as Rivendell and Mordor, these have become familiar to us from Tolkien's Middle Earth. The stories, of course, are entirely fictional, imaginative, improbable, and yet they lead us wittingly or unwittingly, to consider all the great Tolkien themes: heroism, friendship, community, sacrifice, the dignity of creation, free will, providence, desire, grace, joy. It's all in there. And it is, if you will, not so much an escape from reality as a way to understand reality, as Lloyd Alexander said, to face some of life's great questions. Now, the Bible presents us with various forms of literary forms, yes? So I think you covered some of this in your confirmation class. So the Bible has ancient history, and it has theological reflection, and it has letters, has lots of poetry, and sometimes the Bible has a dose of fantasy. The prophet Isaiah, we heard in today's first lesson, depicts another world, a hopeful one, when he proclaims, "The wolf shall live with the lamb, and the leopard lie down with the kid, and the calf and the fatling together, and a little child will lead them, and they will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain," says the Lord. This is a prophetic fantasy in Scripture, and a hopeful one. In the final book of the Bible, St. John records his revelation. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more, mourning and crying and pain no more, for the first things have passed away.'" This is a visionary fantasy in Scripture, and also a very hopeful one. And even Jesus came close to the style of fantasy with some of his parables, right? "The kingdom of heaven is like a father who had two sons, one of whom squandered away everything that his father had given him only to be welcomed home with love and forgiveness. Or, the kingdom of heaven is like a traveler beaten and robbed and left in a ditch, but rescued and cared for by the most unlikely passerby." So, Jesus' parables, like pure fantasy, are stories that invite us to reflect on the big, deep issues of life, to find ourselves in the story, and to align ourselves with the person that we want to be. Right, so, travel with me to Middle Earth. We take up near the final segment of The Lord of the Rings. It's a scene that actually did not make it into the film, which is too bad from my perspective, because I've always thought it was one of the most moving passages in the entire cycle. So the setting is one in which the hobbit Frodo Baggins and his faithful servant Sam are in the very shadow of Mount Doom, right? It's very near the end. Near the end of this long and dangerous journey, and they're in Mordor, and a strange dark cloud has covered the sky for days. It's a weapon of the enemy. Exhausted beyond words, the two hobbits have collapsed for the night under a curtain of brambles, and Frodo has fallen asleep, and here we take up the story. Sam crawled from the hiding place and looked out. The land seemed full of creaking and cracking and sly noises. Far above, the night sky was dim and pale. And there, peeping among the clouds high above the mountains, Sam saw a white star twinkle through for a while. The beauty of it smote his heart, and hope returned to him. For like a shaft, clear and cold, the thought pierced him that in the end, the evil shadow was only a small and passing thing, that there was light and high beauty forever beyond the reach of that shadow. And now for a moment, his own fate and even his master's ceased to trouble him. He crawled back into the brambles and laid himself by Frodo's side, and putting away all fear, he cast himself into a deep, untroubled sleep. A hopeless journey, a foreboding cloud, a small white star twinkling in the darkness, rekindling hope. The story is fantasy, of course, but the hope that was kindled within Sam is kindled within me when I read that story. And it points to the hope which is kindled for every Christian when we think about another star which once gleamed in the dark sky high above Bethlehem. The author, J.R.R. Tolkien, I hope you know, was no stranger to sorrow or desperation. He lost his father at age 3. He lost his mother at age 12. In World War I, the young Tolkien saw combat, suffered from trench fever, watched his close friends die. Then he lived through the Second World War in a nation threatened by a dark cloud of annihilation. No Pollyanna was Tolkien, but a man of deep Christian faith. And his literary fantasies declared his faith and his hope. And he asserted that these fantasies that he wrote revealed deep truth about what's real. So, here's why I've spent all this time talking to you about the meaning of fantasy. Some might say that anyone who makes vows in a church, as some of you are about to do, is engaging in fantasy. And to this I say, guilty as charged. And I hope you will too. Ursula Le Guin says that the underlying meaning of fantasy is that it doesn't need to be the way it is. The underlying meaning of fantasy is it doesn't need to be the way it is, says Le Guin. By God's grace, it doesn't. By God's grace, the world can be better than it is. By God's grace, our nation can be better than it is. By God's grace, you and I can be better than we are. And when we embrace all that is good and true and heroic and sacrificial and compassionate and generous in the so-called fantasies of our faith, well, then we are better. And we become participants in God's work to make the world better. On Friday, day before yesterday, the Nobel Peace Prize was awarded for 2018. Nadia Murad, a survivor of sexual violence by the Islamic State, and Dr. Denis Mukwege, a gynecological surgeon who founded a hospital in the Congo, received the Nobel Peace Prize for their campaigns against the use of sexual violence as a weapon of war. Their work is courageous and inspiring, and the announcement was good to hear in a difficult week that we have had. And I am certain that these two courageous individuals can only do the work that they do because they are convinced that it doesn't need to be the way it is. And I hope that you also believe that, and that you will embrace fully a faith that will enable you, confirmands and all of you, that you will embrace fully a faith that will enable you to be a participant in God's work to make the world better. And that's what some of you are promising to do today. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? I will, with God's help, is the response. Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will, with God's help.
Will you listen to the prophetic fantasies of the Hebrew Scriptures?
I will, with God's help.
Will you attend to and be inspired by the visionary fantasies of Christian mystics? Will you hear and learn from the fantastic parables of Jesus? And will you help make God's fantasies into reality on earth as it is in heaven? Amen. I hope that you will, because the world really doesn't need to be the way it is. It can be better, and you and I can help God make it so. In Jesus' name. Amen.